So we are happy. We feel blessed. Anytime we get an opportunity to come to this masjid to try to continue to do what we've been doing over the past few years, and that is to spread the sunnah in this community. Not just the people who come to this masjid, the people who built this masjid, but to spread the sunnah to the outer community, the other Muslims in this community, as well as the non-Muslims as well, so that they can get a bird's eye view from us. What is the reality of our religion, as opposed to taking that narrative from our enemies who are in control of the mass media? So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to put it in the mawazin of the hasanat of everybody who made this possible. I was given a topic which was the etiquette of al-ikhtilaf, the etiquettes that the Muslim has to have as it relates to having different opinions from each other. We just prayed Salat al-Maghrib. And when we pray Salat al-Maghrib, everybody didn't pray Salat al-Maghrib the exact same way. The adhan of al-Maghrib in this masjid, or the iqama, may be made one way in this masjid, is made another way in another masjid, because there are different ways of doing things in al-Islam, and there are different ways of understanding things in al-Islam. So the topic is a serious topic. I don't want anybody to sit there, and when we talk about the etiquette of al-ikhtilaf, you're thinking about the ikhtilaf between al-Hadith and Brailwis, ikhtilaf between al-Hadith and Diobandis, ikhtilaf between al-Hadith and the Maturidi people. That's part of what today's talk is about, but it's more general than that. It's more comprehensive than that. There's not a person here except that he has ikhtilaf with people who are even close to him. We have ikhtilaf between the elders and the youngsters. We have ikhtilaf between the husband and the wife. We have ikhtilaf because ikhtilaf is natural, it's normal. Can't get away from it. And this is why this topic is a critical topic. Those of you who are aware, the Markaz of Ahlul Hadith is in Birmingham. There's a lot of ikhtilaf that exists between the people of that Markaz that sometimes doesn't allow Islam to move forward or the community to move forward. I'm in a new community not too far from here. When I took the reins of that community, there was a lot of ikhtilaf. There still is a lot of ikhtilaf. Ikhtilaf that is so bad that it leaves a Muslim stuck on stupid. We have some serious challenges and issues in this country as Muslims. Serious challenges and issues. With the challenges that we have, our children stand on the deen. The policies that the government is trying to pass to shut down Islam. Not 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 5 years from now, wallahu alam, Islam as we know it is going to continue to change if we don't do something about dealing with these tahaddiyat. Okay? So my point here is the ikhtilaf exists between the Muslims in a way that the family can't move on. It will cause the quality of a person's life to be affected adversely, because the people involved in the ikhtilaf, they don't know about the etiquette of an ikhtilaf. They didn't get an understanding about an ikhtilaf. And as a result of that, I have nothing to do with the drama, the beef, the static that exists between my mother and my aunt. I have nothing to do with that. But I'm born into it and I inherit it. But because I'm ignorant of my religion, what Allah said, what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm ignorant. So what I do is I become part of the problem, and the circle of the ikhtilaf, it gets bigger. So today's talk, ikhwani, is a really important talk. This masjid right here, it's going to be ikhtilaf. Do you people stay stuck on stupid to the point where the dawah is prevented from moving forward because you don't know how to have ikhtilaf? And this is why we say to the Muslims over and over, and we say to this community, We have to take the Quran and the Sunnah. No doubt about that. But it's not enough for you to say that. The companions of the Prophet, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they are an integral part of this religion. They're not nice stories of people who made a lot of sacrifices. That's part of what they are and who they are. But the companions are a rams of the deen. They're a symbol of the deen. There's no salat, no zakat, no psalm, no hajj. There's no Islam without those companions, radiallahu anhum. So don't look at the companions as, mashallah, the companions, nice stories. No, they're more than that. They're more than that. You have to understand and take this Quran the way they understood and the way they took it. The Sunnah, the way they took it and the way they understood it. And they are hujjah on us. They are hujjah, a dalil against us. How? Why? Many ways. The companions, radiallahu anhum, just like us, they had a lot of ikhtilaf. Their ikhtilaf before al-Islam was ashadd than ours. They had some serious things that kept them apart, the Arabs. So the religion of al-Islam came and it ordered us to do a lot of things and prohibited us from doing a lot of other things in order to take care of this issue of being united. But not united, just some kalimat, fariga. Al-Ittihad, al-Ittihad. Unity, unity. Nope, we're not here calling to that. Just as we're not here calling to al-khilafa, al-khilafa, al-khilafa. Hey, you establish the khilaf in your house. Me, I have to establish the khilafa in my house. I'm the amir al-mu'mineen in my house. And I'm in charge of my wives and I'm in charge of my children. Let me be fair and just and upright. And then if I establish in my house and you in your house and you in your house, Allah wallahi, thumma billahi, thumma tallahi, he's going to establish it in the earth. So it's just kalam farigh when people get before the mic and they start screaming, al-khilafa, al-khilafa. Establish the khilaf in your house, everybody here. So we don't want these empty slogans. Al-jihad, al-jihad. Al-jihad is important. The khilaf is important. Unity is important. But all three of them, they have their correct understanding. They have their correct understanding. So what we want to do here today, inshallah, is shed some light on this serious, massive issue. We'll begin by saying, ikhwani, as it relates to the issue of unity, which is the opposite of al-ikhtilaf and al-tafarruq, having these differences that split us up. Being people who are together on the same understanding is one of those really critical messages of al-Islam. No one should allow himself to be the reason why Muslims are having ikhtilaf. You don't want to be that person. You'll find the individual, mashallah, it's the days of al-Muharram. He's going to fast Ashura, and he's going to fast the 9th of Ashura. And there was no problem for him because he always fasts Mondays and Thursdays. He's going to do that. He makes the adhan. He sits in the first row. He makes jihad to do good things in Islam. But although he's doing those things that are the sunnah, you'll find him a big problem when it comes to he's one of the reasons why the community is divided. Not realizing it's wajib to be united. And it's haram to have ikhtilaf and tafarruq where we split up. It's one of the big sins in al-Islam. So we have the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing us practically how we can unite. So a number of ayat. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا لَسْتَ مِنْهُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ. Ya Muhammad, those people who split their religion and they're different groups, you have nothing to do with them. That's not the religion you brought. You have nothing to do with them at all. It's one of the many ayat of the Quran. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. This ayat of the Quran shows our reality. He said, don't be like those people who are the mushrikeen. It's the religion of the mushrikeen. Don't be of those people who are the mushrikeen. Those people who split their religion up into schisms, each group is happy with what it has. So this one is Salafi, and he doesn't want to hear anything else. And he doesn't even know Salafiyah. That one is Ikhwani, He doesn't want to hear anything except that. That one tablighi, that one's Sufi, this one is a liberal, that one is this and this one is that. And the Prophet brought one book, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one sunnah, one qibla, and above all of that, one ilah, al-khaliq. And you'll find all of these groups being happy with what they had, not permissible. From those mini ayat, not 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, mini ayat. Allah Ta'ala told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ فَاصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ فَانْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَهْتَدُونَ. يَا مُحَمَّد, you and your companions, you and your followers, hold on to the rope of Allah all together and don't be divided. An authentic hadith came and explained what is the rope of Allah. What is the habl of Allah? The Prophet mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa ala alayhi wa sallam al-Quran huwa hablullah al-mamdood min al-samai ila al-ard fatamassaku bihi. He said that the Quran is the rope of Allah that extends from the heavens to the earth. So hold on to it. Addu alayhi bin nawajith. Hold on to that Quran. So be united all together and do not have ikhtilaf. And remember the ni'mah of Allah upon you when you were once enemies to one another. And you're on the brink of the hellfire, about to fall into it. But Allah saved you people by al-Islam. He saved you people in the hopes that you will be guided. So in Jahiliyyah, the Arabs of the Arabian Peninsula, they can never be united. Like for an example, we're a family right here. We're all brothers, cousins, uncles, and we're one tribe. This is our tribe. It could be from Mirpur. It could be whatever you want that tribe to be from. We're one tribe. We have our elders and our youngsters. In Jahiliyyah, this tribe is going to break up at some point. Why? Because I'm not going to agree with what the Amir said. I don't even want him to be the Amir anymore. So I'm going to make khuruj. Me and my sons, me and my younger uncle, me and my older uncle, we're going to fight him and we're going to make problems. And that's why the Prophet told the people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anyone who dies and he doesn't have the bay'ah in his neck, he died the death of al-jahiliyyah. Because you have to give the bay'ah to the leader of the Muslims. And he said, if you come and the Muslims are united and two people, they give the bay'ah to one and then another one stands up to get the bay'ah, then you should deal with that one. Why? Because he's working towards dividing the community. So the point here is there are many, many, many ayat of the book of Allah and many ahadith. As for the sunnah for hadith, wala haraj. The Prophet told us in an authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, يَرْضَ لَكُمْ اللَّهُ ثَلَاثًا وَيَسْخَتُ لَكُمْ ثَلَاثًا. Three things Allah is pleased for you people. He wants these things for you. And three things he hates. He doesn't want them. First, when he said, أَن تَعْبُدُوهُ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَأَن تَنَاسَهُ مَنْ وَلَّاهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَكُمْ وَأَن تَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَخْتَلِفُوا. Three things Allah loves, is pleased, and that is, you worship Him and Him alone, and you don't worship anyone else along with Him. Number two, anyone who's the leader amongst you, the imam, the administration, the husband, the amir, anyone who's in charge of the Muslims, you give him nasiha. And there's a way to give him nasiha. You don't give the imam of the masjid nasiha in front of the people and you put him down and you talk bad at him and you talk bad with the administration. You don't do like that. Number three, he said, Allah loves, or he has a rida, he likes for you to be united and not to have ikhtilaf. You know, in al-Islam, the most important action in al-Islam is the salat. Most important action. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salat khayrul mawdu'. فَمَنْ اسْتَطَعَ يَسْتَكْثِرْ فَلْيَسْتَكْثِرْ. Salat is the best thing you can do. So anyone who can make a lot of prayer, make a lot. There's nothing more important than the Salat in al-Islam from your physical actions. The only thing more important than the Salat is your aqidah and what you believe in. You have the wrong aqidah, all the Salat in the world won't help you. It won't help you. You have the right aqidah, inshallah, your Salat, inshallah, is going to benefit you. But in terms of actions, most important action is the Salat. He would pray it 5 times every day. And before he would pray it in the Jama'at. Unity. Unity. And he wouldn't just get up and face the Qibla and say, Allahu Akbar. He used to look down to make sure that the people were straight in the lines. And he used to say every day, over and over again, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, La takhtalifu, fatakhtalifa qulubukum. Don't be divided in the way you're standing. And if you are divided, it's going to divide your hearts. So you look at the army with the non-Muslims. The people in the army, they know the importance of everybody being synchronized, everybody being disciplined, everybody being straight. There's some benefit from that. If our bodies are not together, our hearts are not together. And this is one of the reasons we got to try our best not to allow our kids to eat at different times. But we have to make an effort of making jihad. We want our bodies together. Ashahid min al-kalam. The Prophet will say, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every day, la takhtalifu. Don't have this ikhtilaf. You're not even talking in the salah. Don't have ikhtilaf in your bodies. You have to be tolerant. Today, for Fajr, I'm between him and him. For Dhuhr, I'm between him and him. For Asr, I'm between him and him. For and on and on. Every day, I'm like that. So now, with this being the case, I'm going to start to learn my brothers, who they are. They're going to learn me. One of them, the Prophet used to tell the people, don't be tough when you put your feet together. Linu bayna aydi ikhwanikum. Take it easy and be soft and gentle. But there's one person from the community, you know them rough guys, put his foot all on your foot, got to do the sunnah, one of them kind of guys. Whenever he is on my side, I know, I just got to be patient with this brother. And I got to be patient with that one. And I got to be patient with this one, because when he prays, he's... So my point here is, this is one of the many practical ways of having unity in the religion. Then the madhhab comes, and the madhhab says, don't stand next to each other. And that's what the madhhab says. So whether you realize it or not, the madhhab is going towards creating ikhtilaf, creating hearts that are a problem. Although the imam who came to that understanding, we're not going to throw him out and say he wanted ikhtilaf. He's a bad imam. And we'll come to those issues of the ijtihad of the ulama. Before moving on, inshallah, akhwani, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam brought a religion that put a lot of emphasis on unity and talked bad about ikhtilaf, because there's a price to pay when we have ikhtilaf. This community right here will suffer. You guys are going to suffer. Your religion will suffer as long as you remain stuck on stupid about those issues that, wallahi, they're not all that complicated. I'm not going to understand everything you understand it. You're not going to look at things the way I look at everything. Impossible. If we were to travel from here to Mecca, I'm going to have ikhtilaf with you people in the deen and the dunya. And you're going to have ikhtilaf with me in the deen and the dunya. But we have a religion that answers those issues. We have a religion that shows us how to be. So the ikhtilaf is a problem. The ikhtilaf is a problem. What's the problem? A lot of problems come from it. A lot. They're very serious. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in his book, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, or the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, innama halaka man kana qablakum bi kathrat ikhtilafihim ala anbiya'ihim. Those people who went before you, they were destroyed because of the ikhtilaf that they had against their prophets. Destruction. Destruction. Be destroyed. It's not a joke. No nation before this nation, no nation remained in power as long as they had ikhtilaf. It's going to be a problem. So there's a serious issue. Allah mentioned in the Quran, وَأَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْحَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. Obey Allah and obey His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And don't have al-munaza'a. Don't be arguing and splitting up over issues between yourselves. Don't do that. Because if you do that, you're going to fail. And your strength is going to leave you. Your strength is going to leave you. Waspiru, nallaha ma'as sabirin. But instead, be patient. Allah is with those who are patient. So now, look what happened in the battle of Badr. Because this is the action of the munafiqeen. The Prophet is going to Badr, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his companions. And the chief of the munafiqeen, he decides, you know what? We're not going to fight with you. We're turning around. And he took a third of the army, and they went back. A third of the army. In the middle, at the time when you really need them, a third of the army breaks off and they go the other way. Weakening the army. That's what happens with ikhtilaf. We don't utilize our resources, whether they are monetary or whether they're in our minds. This individual, he is a blessed brother. He's a professional. He has a profession that will help our community. But he can't get along with me, Abu Salman. I'm on the board. I'm sure a member. So he goes his own way. You go your own way. And I go my own way. It's a problem. Ikhtilaf. It is a big problem. So I want to bring to your attention, Ikhwani, Islam is a community religion. It's a religion, a communal religion. We don't have this thing where you go and you worship Allah by yourself unless it's the real, really time of fitna. There will come a time where a man has to be by himself and he has to hold on to a tree and eat from the leaves of the tree because the fitna is so bad. He has to make the adhan on top of a mountain by himself, him and his sheep. But this is not that time. He told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalitu an-nas wa yasbiru ala adhahum khayrun min al-mu'min alladhi la yukhalitu an-nas wa la yasbiru ala adhahum. The believer who mixes with the people, he's sociable with the people, and he's patient with what annoys him from the people. He's better than the believer who doesn't mix with the people. And he's not patient. That's the description of the mu'min. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-mu'min ya'luf wa yu'laf. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلُفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ. The believer is a person who, he connects to people, and he accommodates them when they want to connect to him. And there's no good in the one who doesn't take the initiative to connect. And when people want to connect to him, he doesn't reciprocate. That's the sign of the mu'min. He's individual, he's going to get in his lane, and he's going to get in where he fits in, and he's going to try to bring good to the table. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to jeopardize the issue of ikhtilaf and unity. Second issue, and this is critical. Second issue, Ikhwani, is that the ulama of Islam, they used to put a lot of emphasis on the knowledge of al-ikhtilaf. There's knowledge of how to pray, knowledge of zakat, the fiqh of Islam, how to perform hajj. There's knowledge or the fiqh of how to get married, how to get divorced, how to make the istiqbal of the new child. Fiqh of all of that. Fiqh of how to sit in the masjid. There is the fiqh of al-ikhtilaf. The ulama of al-Islam, past, present, and in the future, inshallah. The ulama of al-Islam, they have a special position. They are the warathatul anbiya. They are the ones who inherited from the Anbiya. And as a result of that, they're not normal. Allah asked a rhetorical question in the Quran that doesn't deserve any answer, because the answer is clear. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِ الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are they equal, those who know and those who don't know? The man in Islam, he doesn't know his elbow from his ankle bone in the religion. He doesn't know. And here's a man with knowledge of the religion. He's sitting on top of a mountain, and when people come to him with his knowledge and his insight. He knows the fitna before it even comes. The people come to him and say, Sheikh, what's your position about this, 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 that? He say, don't do it. Don't do it. He knows what this guy is asking about is going to destroy the whole country. It's going to kill people, the whole country, everybody. But the one who can't see, except in front of his nose, especially from the younger people, the Ruwaybida and the Shabab, those people say, no, Sheikh, he don't know. He's Sheikh scholar for dollars. The point here is, the ulama of al-Islam, they didn't leave any stone unturned for this ummah. Everything you want to look up, everything you want to research, the scholars of Islam talked about it. Even issues that were not present back then. You're going to find from the kalam and the fiqh of the ulama, that which will allow you to make qiyas. You can make istinbat from what they said and what they did for things that were not even present back then, like this mobile phone. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have a mobile phone. You all know that, right? He didn't have a no. Anybody doubt that? Anybody here think the Prophet had a mobile phone, 3G or iPhone? Anybody think that? And yet, the Quran and the Sunnah showed us the adab of this mobile phone. The adab of the mobile phone. And how to deal with the mobile phone. If the people knew the adab of the mobile phone, this fitna with our brother Nu'man Ali Khan, people would know what to do. Just shut up and stop being a part of the problem. Just shut up. This is part of the mushkila with ikhtilaf. Too many people are talking who shouldn't be talking. And as a result of that, the issue gets more complicated. So the scholars of Islam, they wrote about the importance of ikhtilaf. Some of the greatest scholars. They said that the very first scholar who wrote about al-ikhtilaf was that muhaddith from the Hanabila, al-Imam Abu Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Nasr al-Marwazi. This man, he was the business, nitroglycerin. He wrote a book, he called his book, Fiqh al-Ikhtilaf. After him, all of the scholars came and they named their book this as well. All of them. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Jarir al-Tabri, same book. Tremendous Imam in al-Islam. Ibn al-Mundhir, the sahib of the book, Kitab al-Targhib al-Tarhib. All of them used to write this, even before them. Al-Imam Malik in his book Al-Muwatta. That book of Al-Muwatta is a book that contains for us the statements and the positions of the companions that had ikhtilaf, of the tabi'een that had ikhtilaf. Why am I mentioning this to you? I'm mentioning this to you, Ikhwani, number one, to let you know, number one, that the scholars of Islam didn't leave us to be by ourselves to figure stuff out. And when I say the scholars of Islam, that doesn't mean that a scholar is ma'soom. When someone says, where's the dalil? You say, Sheikh Rabi said. That ain't a dalil. The dalil is what Allah said, what his messenger said, what the companion said and did. Ridwanullah alayhim. The haq is what Allah said, what his messenger said. And what the companion said and did. Don't be of those people. What's the proof of that? Al-Imam Abu Hanifa said, that's not a dalil. Ala kullin. We want you to know, number one, the scholars. If you find, hey, Abdul Samir, brand spanking new Muslim. If you find someone in the community talking bad about the ulama, then you run away from that person the way you run away from a lion. Now, I know some of you are very inquisitive, and if a real lion came in, some of you would say, wow, look at his lihya. Wow. And he says, I think I can touch him. A lion bite your head off. You run away from that person the way you run away from a lion. You're going to be like me. You're not going to try to wait to see if the lion is going to cool out, not cool out. I'm going out the window as soon as he come in the door. That's how you have to be with the one who talks bad about the ulama of Islam. And it's usually from these groups that are political. The Jama'at al-Siyasiya. They're the ones. They got to put the scholars down so that they could put themselves up. When the scholars are out of the equation, now the thing is easy for them to do what they want to do. Second reason why I'm bringing you this is the importance of the issue of knowing the etiquette of ikhtilaf and knowing what the scholars had ikhtilaf in. They said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud about a man who was teaching. He asked, does the man have knowledge of the ikhtilaf between the people? They said, no. He said, he is destroyed and he's going to destroy other people. If you have some knowledge about, well, this issue that has ikhtilaf in. There's ikhtilaf. All right. He's doing this particular thing like the maulid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example. This is an example. I don't believe that the maulid is permissible. I think it's an innovation. Personally, I believe it's an innovation. And I'm with those scholars who said it's an innovation. But I also know that al-Imam al-Suyuti, al-Imam ibn Hajar, al-Imam al-Nawawi, and other scholars said it was something that was okay. The dalil is not al-Nawawi said, Abu Hanifa said, Abu Bakr said. The dalil, Allah said, his prophet said, the companions collectively said something, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Now when I know, although I believe the maulid is not right, but how am I going to call this brother, you a deviant because you're doing the maulid. You believe in the maulid, so you're a deviant and I won't give you a salams and you don't love the sunnah. If I say that to him and I looked at him like that, what am I going to do with those imams who took his position? Doesn't mean that position is correct. Doesn't mean that I'm saying it's correct. But if you're going to give him this ruling and you won't give it those imams, well, what? Where's the fairness in that? Where's the justice in that? So when the person knows the ikhtilaf, he'll know how to deal with the people based upon the ikhtilaf that exists. It's not going to make a big deal. Goes into a masjid where they don't say Ameen after the imam reads Surah Al-Fatiha. They don't say it in that masjid. Okay, I know where they're coming from. So I'm not going to go in that masjid and make trouble. Because I know the issue. So that's the second point that we wanted to mention. Third point, Ikhwani, concerning this issue of ikhtilaf, before we even get into the adab, the different etiquettes of ikhtilaf, we wanted to share this introduction with you, the third point in my introduction. First one, the religion call for unity. And it said, ikhtilaf is a mushkila. And there's a price to pay. Number two, the scholars of al-Islam, they talked about this issue. And the real person who's worthy, he's worth his weight. He knows, he has some knowledge about what the ulama of al-Islam had ikhtilaf in. He's a nice speaker. He gives a nice khutbah. And that's his lane. وَلِكُلِّنْ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ That's his lane. No problem. يُمْدَحْ عَلَى هَذَا But he's not a mufti. Know the difference between the guy who gives a nice talk and the guy, the sheikh, who you're going to bring your issues to. Sheikh, I want to get a house. And the house is with a mortgage. The mortgage, I have an opportunity to get it from the Islamic bank or to get it from the regular bank. What do you think I should do, Sheikh? Don't go to any ordinary Amr, Bakr, and Zaid from people to ask those kind of questions. Don't go to regular people. Those issues about your life, those issues about marriage, divorce, blood, private parts, your money, you go to people who know this religion. This is one of the big problems we have. Everybody who can say something in front of a mic, we put him there and he's talking, especially here in this country. And our Shabab are being sent astray. Third point in this introduction, and then we'll get into the issue, inshallah, is that there are different types of ikhtilaf, ikhwani. Not all ikhtilaf is bad. There is the ikhtilaf alladhi amlahu al-haq. The ikhtilaf came as a result of the truth. It's not bad. And then there's the ikhtilaf that came as a result of desires. That's the ikhtilaf that's a problem. There's the ikhtilaf that is mustasagh. This ikhtilaf, yeah, we understand it. Although I believe
the correct position, the qawl ar-rajih. I believe it's this one over here. But the other opinion is mustasagh. We performed Hajj this year, bifadlillahi ta'ala. And there are many lessons to learn from al-Hajj. Many lessons. We can deal with the issue of the adab of ikhtilaf as a lesson from Hajj. From the lessons of al-Hajj is that the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, they had a lot of different opinions about Hajj. That ikhtilaf, so many things happened with the companions when they performed Hajj with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, as you'll see, inshallah. So I just give you a very quick example, very quickly. A person wants to stone the Jamarat. And in stoning the Jamarat, he has his father with him, who's an old man. His mother with him. She's an older lady. His wife is not feeling well. So he wants to go and stone the three Jamarat on behalf of his elderly mother or father. So he's going to do for himself and he's going to do for his father. Some of the scholars said when you do that, you have to throw seven, go to the next one, throw seven, go to the next one, throw seven, and then go back and start all over for the one you're doing it for. Other scholars said no. Shania, you throw seven for yourself and then seven for that person. And you do that with the other three. Whatever position you take in that issue, it's an ikhtilaf that's mu'tabr. It's an ikhtilaf you can understand. Because there's no ayat, there's no hadith saying do this or don't do that. So both opinions, they have their point of view. Don't be of those people who come and you insist, you got to take it my way. It's my way or the highway. That's how some of the people are. But the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim, in the things when there was not any nus, and it wasn't going to be a problem for the community, their chests used to be wider than that. Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, there are those people who in this month after a few days on Saturday, the day of Ashura, there are those people who their ikhtilaf of this religion is not acceptable. By no stretch of the imagination can you curse the companions. By no stretch of the imagination can you have adawa towards any of the companions, Muawiyah or any of those companions. What are we going to say? Ikhtilaf ummati rahma? That's not a rahma. That's adab. Wallahi, there's no ikhtilaf for that. But on the 9th and the 10th, these people are going to come and they're going to curse Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. I'm here to tell you, hey, don't get it twisted and think that I'm telling you that we have to have ikhtilaf with people and we have to accept what everybody's saying. Hazir nazir? There's no ikhtilaf in that. Yarmi, khatam, there's no ikhtilaf in that. The Nabi never died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He knows the ilm al-ghayb. There's no ikhtilaf in that. There's not an ikhtilaf that is considered. It's not mu'tabr. Someone comes. Just imagine this. Just imagine this. We all believe collectively, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some man comes from outside. European white man comes from outside and he's drunk. He comes in here with a bottle of lager and he says, I'm Rasulullah after Muhammad. We're going to look at him. No one here is going to say, okay, this is issue of ikhtilaf. We're going to look at this guy and say, hey, we have to go and help him to find his mind. He lost his mind somewhere. Let's go help him to find his mind. So the point here is, I'm not here telling you every ikhtilaf is considered. There are different types of ikhtilaf. The end result comes like that for certain reasons, and the beginning of the ikhtilaf for certain reasons. Again, with experience, with knowledge, a person begins as he gets older, especially, he becomes more tolerant. But when he's young, and he's newly practicing, it becomes a problem. Because his lack of experience and his lack of knowledge, he's sincere. So he'll come and he'll accuse the imam. He'll accuse the administration. You people don't want the sunnah. Hey, slow down and pump your brakes. Slow down and pump your brakes and relax. So I just want to make it clear. There is an ikhtilaf that is natural. The one that comes as a result of being the fitrah of Allah. The fitrah. No two people are going to think the same and understand everything the same. It's not going to happen. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran in Surah Hud. He said in the Quran, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعْلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقُهُمْ. Listen to this ayah. Had your Lord wanted, Ya Muhammad, if your Lord wanted, he could have made all of the people one ummah. Everybody is on Islam. Everybody is on Tawheed. Everybody is doing the right thing. He could even make them malaika, where they don't even make mistakes. Had your Lord wanted, Ya Muhammad, pay attention to this ayah. He could have made all of the people one ummah, but they will not cease to have ikhtilaf between themselves. They will not cease to be divided, except the one that Allah had rahmah upon. And for this reason, they were created. Few things in this ayat. Number one. The ayat shows people were created to have ikhtilaf. So as a father, my two wives are not the same. My children are not the same. I got to deal with everybody in different ways. This is a boy. This is a girl. This one older. This one. And this one is easy to understand that. Can't deal with everybody the same way. He's older. He's been in Islam longer. He's more knowledgeable. This one is sick. This one is challenged mentally. He said because of that, they were created. He said they will continue to have ikhtilaf. Illa man rahim rabbuk. Except that the one that Allah has rahmah upon. And that goes to show ikhtilaf ummati is a rahmah. That hadith is fabricated. It's not true. The Prophet never said that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this ayah said, being united is the rahmah. And having ikhtilaf is an adab. The ikhtilaf becomes a rahmah. It could be a rahmah in that the religion allowed you to do things certain ways in different ways. Everyone knows how to. You can make the hajj of a tamattu', or you can make the hajj of an iqran, or you can make the hajj of an ifrad. That's a rahmah that you have a choice. You have a choice. You want to pray your sunnah prayers like the Hanafis do after Salat al-Isha. Some of them stay on their knees and they do those two rak'ah. You want to stay on your knees? Stay on your knees and pray those two rak'ahs. You want to stand up and pray? Stand up and pray those two rak'ahs. It's a rahmah because you have a choice. As for you say what you want to say, I say what I want to say, you think what you want. No, this is adab. And the Arab Spring is a clear indication that ikhtilaf is adab. Ikhtilaf is adab. The Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, concerning this particular point as well, Ikhwani, he said in an authentic hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-arwah junudun mujannada. Ma ta'arafa minha i'talafa. Wa ma tanakara minha ikhtalafa. He said that the souls of the people are like trained soldiers in the army, conscripted soldiers. He said the arwah, people's souls, their souls are like trained soldiers. There are some souls, when they come together, they harmonize and they mesh. And you just get along. And then there are other souls, other people, when they come together, they clash. He just doesn't like you. You ask him why you don't like him. He doesn't know. He himself doesn't know. Some people know. His skin is black. I don't like, you know, some people know. But some people don't know. I just don't like him. And then there is the person who, you meet him, you're like, man, don't I know you from somewhere? No, we just met. But that's how it is. You get along with them. And I hope and pray those of you who are not married, you get a wife like that. When you marry your wife, you just like, you have insijam like that. You have insijam. It's like when the lights go off, we all go to put our shoes on. We don't see the shoe. You put the shoe down, you put your foot in. You say, this is not my shoe. This is not my shoe. It may be too small, too big. It may be my size, but it's not my shoe. Whereas in the darkness, the person puts his foot in his shoe. He says, this is my shoe. Some people are like that. Very easy to get along with. I mean, even when they start talking, you kind of know what they're about to say already. You could finish the sentence because they're easy. And then those people were just very difficult. That goes to show, Ikhwani, that some ikhtilaf is just natural. And that's why we have, pay attention. I need you to understand this point. That's why we have some of the best people having ikhtilaf. Some of the best people. Our father, Adam, had ikhtilaf with Musa. Salawatullahi wa salamu alayhima. They had a discussion. And they both were bringing their hujjaj. Musa was saying, you're Adam. Allah created you with his own hands. You're the father of the human beings. Allah put you in the Jannah. He told the Malaika to make sajda to you. You got us kicked out of the Jannah. Musa said back to him, are you going to hold me accountable for something that was written on me 50,000 years before the heaven and the earth were created? The Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Adam overcame Musa in his argument, in the discussion, the argument that they were having. Sulaiman and Dawood, the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim of the two ladies, they had two babies. The older lady put her baby down and the wolf came and ate it and ran off. The younger lady put her baby down, the older lady took that baby. She said, it's my baby. They said, no, that's my baby. No, that's my baby. No, that's my baby. They went to Dawood, to the father, to get the judgment. They told him the story. He looked at the Dalil. The Dalil was in the hands of the woman who wasn't her baby. He said, that's your baby. He gave a ruling. That's your baby. It's yours. Because he has to judge based upon what's apparent. But it wasn't her baby. When they left the room, they came upon his son, Sulaiman. Sulaiman said, okay, just bring me a knife. I'm going to cut the baby in half. I give you half, I give you half. That lady who wasn't the real mother said, okay, it's all right with me. The other lady said, nope, nope, nope. She can have the baby. She can have it. Sulaiman said, hey, that's her baby. The ruling of the father was this. The ruling of the son was that. They didn't give the same ruling because circumstances changed. And that happens in the dunya with ulama. They say, al-mustafti or al-mufti, asir al-mustafti. The mufti is the captive of the one who's asking the question. Beware of these brothers on this ghulu of al-jarh wa ta'dil who don't have this rahmah where you can have ikhtilaf. I don't have to follow everything Sheikh Rabi says or any sheikh in the dunya. Don't force me to take the ijtihad of the ulama of Islam. It's their ijtihad. So these brothers will say, you're out of the sunnah because you say that. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. Take it easy. Just relax. There's ikhtilaf between the scholars. The person comes and he says to the sheikh, Sheikh, what do you have to say about the person who did this, 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 this? The sheikh is going to give his fatwa. The sheikh is the captive of the guy asking the questions because he's going to give his fatwa based upon how the question was given to him. And then that person comes and he takes that and he says, Sheikh so-and-so said that this masjid in Huddersfield is a deviant masjid. He never mentioned anything to the sheikh about Huddersfield. Never mentioned anything about Huddersfield. But the one who has that disease in his heart. So my point here is, the Anbiya and the Prophets. There is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Imam al-Tirmidhi. He collected it and it's authentic, inshallah, from the hadith al-Qudsi. Allah Ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Muhammad, atadri, fima yakhtasimu al-mara'u al-a'la. Do you know why the angels who are up above are arguing? The angels are arguing. Do you know why? The Prophet said, Allahu Alam, I don't know. Allah Azza wa Jal put his hand on the Prophet's back in the dream. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I felt the coldness of Allah's hand. And Allah has two hands, their right hands, they befit his majesty. He said, I felt the coldness in my chest. And then Allah said, do you know why the angels are arguing? He said, yes, they're arguing about the darajat and the kafarat. They're arguing about those things that cause you to go up. And they're arguing about the things that will cause you to get your sins taken off. Namely, walk into the masjid. Namely, sitting in the masjid from one salat to the next salat. Namely, making a good wudu. This word, al-mukhasama. Al-mukhasama, in the Arabic language, it means argument. One group or person is saying something, someone else says something back. Now, the malaika, they don't disobey Allah Azza wa Jal, but the malaika are giving their points of view. Why are they making this mukhasama between themselves? Why are they having this thing? So some of the ulama of Islam, they use this particular hadith to go and show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one. He's the only one who knows everything. So as a result of that, everybody and everything else in his creation, they're going to have different opinions about different things. Based upon what information came to them, is going to be what they say, what they do, what they believe. And that leads to natural ikhtilaf. Because he heard something, he heard something else, he believed some other thing, he read it in another way. So the ikhtilaf is something that is normal. It's something that is normal. Don't think ikhtilaf is inherently evil. No, when we don't have etiquette, this is when the problem is. And these are the things we want to speak about right now, okay? And there are a lot of etiquettes of ikhtilaf. First one that we want to bring to your attention, inshallah ta'ala, is husnul khuluq. Just having good character as it relates to ikhtilaf. That's a general statement. Having husnul khuluq. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, athqalu shay fil mizan yawm al-qiyamah. Husn al-khuluq. The thing that's going to be in the scales heavier than everything yawm al-qiyam is good character. Salafi, ahlul hadith, ahlul sunnah. Good characters from our religion. The one who knows that Allah is al-basir. He sees. He's al-sami'. He's al-qawi. He's al-jabbar, al-azim. For him to parrot off this ayat and this hadith, but we don't see that reflective in the way he's dealing with us. He's not gentle. He's not kind. He's not patient. He's not clean. He's not truthful. But he's going to stand up beating a drum. Salafi, Salafi. I'm here to say, wallahi, a Salafi is the truth. But what is a Salafiya? It's not my property that I come. It's my club. My club, Ahlul Hadith, meaning I'm not Brilwi Diobundi. No. Salafiya is taking that Quran and the Sunnah the way the companions understood it in practice. Is Salafi what the media telling us? A Salafiya Jihadiya, Qaeda, Boko Haram, Shabab. These guys are the Salafis? No, it's not Salafiya. Salafiya is al-Islam al-Musaffa, that we shouldn't be shy and embarrassed or afraid. Somebody say to me, hey, are you a Muslim? I'm so scared, I'm going to say, nah, I'm not a Muslim. I'm going to tell you people, I'm a Muslim. What kind of Muslim are you? I believe you got to be on the Kitab and the Sunnah, the way the companions understood those two sources. That's what I believe. Call it what you want to call it. Should we run around beating that drum every day, all the time, putting emphasis on the Kalam and not on the essence of the meaning? No, we have to put essence on the meaning. And from the essence is the way we act. If you're really Ahlul Hadith, then work by the hadith and be gentle. Don't talk so much. Don't be haqid. Don't be hasid. Take it easy. Anyway, when I say good character, ikhwani, the arrogant person, he's going to differ with people because it's his way or the highway. The one who thinks, he thinks, I'm always right and everybody else is wrong. That's going to lead to more ikhtilaf. good character. Love for your brother what you love for yourself. Have husna dhan. Do you think he hates the sunnah? You think he took that position because he's just a bad guy, hate the sunnah, you want to be a troublemaker? He took that position because that's what he believes. He believes that. Another thing from the husnul khuluq is, in al-Islam, what is big, we make big. What's little, we make little. So I'm praying next to a brother who's leaving the masjid right now. He was moving his finger like this in the salat. I don't move my finger. After salat, am I going to grab his finger and break and snap his finger? And say to him, what are you doing? I'm not going to do that. Because what he's doing, even if I didn't hear about it, even if I didn't know it, good khuluq. Don't be in haste. Come and ask the brother. Why do you do that? What's going on? Just take it easy and be relaxed when people disagree with you. The reason why I say that, look at this. A few incidents happened. They were the same. It happened with Umar and another companion, two other companions, where the man was reading the Quran, Surat Al-Hadid, in a way that Umar wasn't taught that Quran. Umar said, I got ready to grab him when I heard him. He was praying, and he started reading Surat Al-Hadid. I almost grabbed him. I almost gripped him up. But I let him go, respecting the prayer. After he finished praying, I grabbed him, thinking he's messing with the Quran. He took him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, this man is reading the Quran in a way that you didn't teach me. But Muhammad said, let him go, Umar. He let him go. He told the man, read it. The man started reading the Quran, radiyallahu anhu. He said, now you read it. Umar started reading the Quran. The Prophet told both of them, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kilakuma muhsin. Both of you are correct. One issue and both of you are correct. So the haqq can have two sides to it, or three sides, or four sides. But if you're arrogant and you think that you have collected all of the religion, your madhhab collected all of the religion, your sheikh collected all of the religion, you're going to be a problem. You are going to be a problem. So deal with people in a nicer way, in an easier way. Don't be one of those people who's real rough and tough, my way or the highway. إِذَا اجْتَهَدَ الْحَاكِمُ فَأَصَابَ فَلُوْ أَجْرًا وَنْ أَخْتَى فَلُوْ أَجْرٌ وَاحِدٌ. If a human being, a mujtahid, alim, he looks at an issue and he makes ijtihad. If he gets it right, he gets two rewards. If he gets it wrong, he gets one reward. That's the rahmah of Allah, the lutf of Allah, the afu of Allah. Gonna give the man a reward because he's qualified to make an effort. He did the best that he could. And he arrived to the wrong conclusion and he still gets a reward. Which goes to show, ikhwani, every single ikhtilaf shouldn't be something that you wage war against it. Number two, this is just as important. Number two, the regular people from amongst us, don't talk so much. Don't be so opinionated. In the deen or the dunya, don't be so opinionated. Look what Ali ibn Abi Talib said. Ali radiallahu anhu, who the Prophet said about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aqda ummati Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's the best qadi of this ummah. He's the best judge of this ummah. That's from his khasa'is. Ali said, kana al-ilm nuqtatan, fadakhala fihi man la yuhsinuhu, fasara al-an arida. He said, knowledge used to be just a dot. But then people started getting to knowledge who are not the people of knowledge. They started talking, started writing, started giving their opinions. And then knowledge became very expansive and wide. Meaning what? Allah revealed the ayat of the Quran, Ar-Rahman ala al-arsh istawa. When that ayat was revealed, describing Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, Ar-Rahman is over his throne in the way that befits his majesty. Not a single companion said, how? Why? When? Where? Not a single one. They had nothing to say. Just, it's this lamb. They just submit it. I told you the hadith. Qudsi. Allah came to the Prophet at nighttime when he was sleeping. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Touched him in the back. He felt the coldness of that in his neck and his chest. Not a single companion said, how, why, when, where. But now what we have with the Muslims is Ar-Rahman. He came down, he made istiwa. Istiwa in the language, it means this. And that poet, he said that, and this, that. And if he comes down and if he goes up, and then what happens, all that. And you have to write an explanation of that, and then an explanation of that explanation, an explanation of that explanation. And now we have all of the kalam. And that's why they said that the companions, they had a few words, but they had a lot of actions. Today, we have a lot of kalam and few actions. And that's why Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw the man, a man said, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, you see that guy? He said, that's a good guy. Put him in your office. Put him. He's a good guy. He said, you know him? He said, yeah, I know him. He said, you travel with him. You sleep with him. You do business with him. Did you eat with him? He said, no. He said, you don't know him. Maybe you just saw him going up and down in the masjid and you think he's good. Nah, if we see him in the masjid going up and down, we have husn al-dhan. But does that mean you loan him money? You don't know him yet. No, you have to get to know that brother. So those people back then, not a lot of kalam, but a lot of actions. So now, from the adab of al-ikhtilaf, the regular people, the ignorant people shouldn't talk. I come to this masjid, this community, I'm brand spanking new. I don't know about the problems that exist. This community says to me, you can give the khutbah, you can give the talk. I'm going to avoid the issues because I don't know what's going on here. And I shouldn't put my foot down in a place I don't know if should go there. Allah said in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't talk about that which you have no knowledge about. That's the way of the munafiqeen, especially as it relates to the community. Allah Ta'ala mentioned those munafiqeen, وَإِذَا جَاءَ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوَ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَرَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمُهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِتُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْ لَا فَضُلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. The munafiqeen, if something happens to the community in the way of public safety or public fear, the munafiqeen are the ones who talk about it. Everybody, they got something to say. Everybody got their opinion. Allah said, if those munafiqeen, ignorant people, if they just would have referred that issue back to the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those who have knowledge, then they would have put the best construction on the situation. And if it wasn't for the rahmah of Allah upon you, you would have followed shaitan, most of you, except a few of you. So this is in the deen. I don't know much about the deen. Why am I giving my opinion? Why am I debating? I don't know much about the deen. The dunya is the same way. That's not my forte. That's not my takhassus. These are not my people. Listen, Ikhwani, in this country as well as in Somalia, in Europe. I travel to Europe quite a bit and I deal with Somali communities. In the Somali communities, because I'm not Somali, there are things that I dare not touch on from the problems that they've had over the years. Because I'm not the man for that job. It's too sensitive. You got to let their ulama talk about that. Their shayukh talk about that. And I'm talking about the dunya. It's not for me to talk about what's going on with the problems of the administration because I don't know. And by giving my opinion, and I don't know all of the angles, I'm just going to make more problems. Let the people handling the situation handle it. That's why I said about our brother that you people have heard about. Don't pass that stuff out to the next guy. Don't pass it out. Because you wouldn't want that to happen to you. And we are people who are people of proofs, not people of you know, the way the newspapers are, the Sun magazine. So the issue here is,
from the etiquette of al-ikhtilaf is for a person to just keep his mouth shut and not to talk about things. Another very important issue. From the etiquette of ikhtilaf, mura'at al-musalih, that you have to take into consideration the harms and the benefits of the thing that is on the table. Listen to this very carefully. Doing the Hajj, doing the Khilaf of Umar, or doing the Hajj, one of the Hajj, doing the Khilaf of Uthman. In Mina, Uthman, he prayed Salat al-Dhuhr 4 rakat. In Mina, all of the prayers are just 2 rakat to be prayed at their time. Dhuhr, 2 rakat at his time. Asr, 2 rakat at his time. And that's what you do in the days of Mina. You don't combine in Mina. Uthman combined. Because Uthman prayed 4 rakat. After praying 4 rakat, which was against the sunnah, some of the youngsters went up to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. May Allah be pleased with them. They said, hey, Uthman. He did the whole thing for. Aren't you going to say something? Aren't you going to do something? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, Naam, the sunnah is to shorten and make 2. And what he did was a mistake. Walakin al-khilaf shar. He should have made 2. But this khilaf that you guys are doing is evil. So if I get up and I start talking to Uthman the Khalifa, and the way you guys are, there's going to be a problem. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he let that thing which was wrong, he let it go. Because to try to deal with it, with the way these people were, maybe it's going to lead to civil war. It's going to lead to civil war. So we are in a masjid. And the elders, they think a certain way. Elders sometimes, as always say, we're in a relay race. I get the baton, I'm running. I got to hand it to you. So you're running and you get it from me. And then that's how we do it. Sometimes when you're running with the elder and the elder's like this. And he won't do this. He just keep running. You say, Sheikh, la la sab. Although he's tired, he won't pass it off. He has to pass off the baton. The same way it was passed off to him by those who preceded him. But I'm coming into the masjid as a youngster. I got to take it easy. I got to relax. I can't clash with the elders. They're the ones who built the masjid. They're the ones who purchased the masjid. We have to keep working in a nice way. We have to be able to weigh the harms and we have to weigh the benefits. I'm in a masjid. I want to get down in that masjid. As soon as I start saying, in alhamdulillah, the people are going to say it's Wahhabi. So I don't say it. I don't say Ameen. Because saying Ameen in that masjid is going to create fitna. Does that mean that we're going to let the sunnah die? Trying to please people? No. That's what the Prophet did, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he left the door of Mecca up. When the Kuffar Quraysh didn't want to write, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And he let it go. Because there's a bigger picture. So when it comes to the issue of the etiquette of al-ikhtilaf, the etiquette, you have a position and I have a position. We got to weigh the masalih. Hey, you want to marry a girl and your parents don't want you to marry her. Her hijab, jilbab, gloves, niqab, salat, qira'ah, she's a good girl on the sunnah and she's beautiful. But your mother and your father are not with the program. Why? Racism. Or whatever reason. They don't want to marry from that tribe, from that family. You have to weigh the harms and the benefits. How in the world is the girl going to run off and marry this guy without her father? Or how are you going to run off and marry them despite your mother and your father? How are you going to do that? You guys have ikhtilaf, different opinions. Weigh. What your father is doing is not right. It's not right. trying to force you to marry somebody you don't want to marry and not allow you to marry someone who may be the perfect girl for you. What he's doing is not right. But you're about to create a bigger problem when you marry without their consent and permission and without their support. Again, Ikhwani, from the etiquette of Ikhtilaf, and this is one of the most important ones, is we have to refer things back to the Kitab and back to the Sunnah. The companions, all of them felt that the Prophet ﷺ loved them the most. He felt the Prophet loved them the most. He felt. So they were bragging. He loves me more than you. He said, no, he don't. Wallah, he loved me more. And they were bragging. They said, let's just go to him and let's ask him. So they went to him. They said, who do you love the most? He said, Abu Bakr. They said, but we don't mean that. We mean from the women. He said, Aisha. He said, no, that's your wife. We mean from the men. He said, her father, Abu Bakr. So they didn't sit there fighting and arguing with each other. No, he loves me the most. And then we get into a fight. Go back to the Kitab and the Sunnah. وَإِن تَنَازَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ وَأَحْسَنُ تَأْوِيلًا. If you people have a difference in anything, then refer it back to Allah and His Messenger. That is better and more appropriate for the final determination. Look what happened in Hajj, Ikhwani, and I'm almost done here. Abdullah ibn Abbas was making tawaf around the Kaaba with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. Whenever Muawiyah went around the Kaaba, he would touch each corner and make a tabarruk with each corner. Ibn Abbas looked at him and said, why are you doing that? He said, because the Kaaba is, all of it is hurma. All of it is sacred. He said, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do that. The Prophet used to touch the Yemeni corner. If he could touch the Yemeni corner, the one before the black stone. If he could touch it, he would touch it. If he couldn't touch it, he wouldn't wave at it, wouldn't do anything. And then when he came to the black stone, if he could touch it, he would touch it. If he couldn't touch it, he would wave to it. Say, Bismillah. He said, Muawiyah, but all of the Kaaba is good. He said, but the Prophet didn't do that. I say it's all good, but that's not the Sunnah. When Muawiyah heard that's not the Sunnah, radiallahu anhu, he just said, yeah, you're right. And that's the way the companions were. Abdullah ibn Umar said that Salatul Duha, put your hands up if you heard of Salatul Duha, if you heard of it. Salatul Duha. Salatul Shuruq, Ad-Duha. Everybody, Abdullah ibn Umar says Salatul Duha is an innovation. It's an innovation. Don't do it. Don't do it. But when he heard the Dalil, he accepted it. And that's how the companions were. So I want to conclude here, Ikhwani, and we can mention a lot of other things, but time is done on us. Ikhtilaf is normal. It happened with the best of the people. The companions had ikhtilaf in salat, al-zakat, al-sawm, al-hajj. They had ikhtilaf in the tafsir of the Quran, ayat, left, right, and center. They had ikhtilaf. They even had ikhtilaf in the most important issue, and that is the aqidah. Generally speaking, the ikhtilaf that they had in aqidah is small in comparison to the ikhtilaf of fiqh. They had ikhtilaf in a few issues, just a few, not many. Some said the Prophet saw a lot. Some said he didn't see a lot. Some said the Khawarij were kuffar. Some said, no, they're Muslim. Some said that Ibn Sayyad is the Dajjal. Some said, no, he's not the Dajjal. Some said that getting punished in the grave, the one getting in the grave will be punished by the crying of the one outside. Those companions had ikhtilaf in a few masail. And they're the best of the people. So you think that we're not going to have ikhtilaf? Just have good akhlaq and relax. And I end with a statement of Imam al-Shafi'i. He said, anytime I have an issue, I believe that I'm right. But I believe that I'm right and you're wrong. But I also know that it's possible that you're right and I'm wrong. But you have to prove that to me. He's not a person who, I'm not going to listen to what anybody says. Anybody. This is my position. I'm saying, no. He said, I believe that I'm right. I believe I'm right. And I believe that you're wrong. But at the same time, I believe that I can be wrong. And that it's possible that you can be right. So already when you come to the discussion table, he's open for a discussion. He's open with that type of mentality. With that type of mentality. And that's why when it came to ikhtilaf, he used to have those beautiful positions. His book, Kitab al-Umm, his student, Rabi ibn Sulayman al-Muradi, took that book and showed the ikhtilaf that Imam al-Shafi had with those other scholars from the three madhahib and other than them. And nobody makes a big deal about it except the people who are muta'assibun. Muta'assib is my madhab and my madhab is the right one. So, ikhwani, in concluding, just relax yourselves, inshallah, and learn the etiquette of ikhtilaf. Have a chest and a breast that is open. And remember, we're living in a very tough time. This is the worst time for the Muslims, for Bani Adam. This is the tough time where the knowledge of the religion is a little bit. So people are going to make mistakes from our ummah. Where's the rahmah? Ahlul Sunnah are the arhaman nas bil khalq. Ahlul Sunnah have the most rahmah on the people because they're the most knowledgeable people of the Khaliq. Allah is gentle. Allah is forgiving. Allah pardons. Allah loves the excuse. You have the sunnah? Why are you so mean and nasty, man? Why are you so mean and nasty? Brother wouldn't go to his grandmother's janazah because she was a brewi. I said, are you serious? He was serious. Who does that? Your grandmother can't read or write. She can't read. She can't write. She's from the awam who we ask Allah Ta'ala to have mercy upon her, to put her in Jannah without any adab or hisab. She didn't know what she was doing. So relax and take it easy. Okay, Akhwani, we're going to stop here. We want to thank the administration, the imam, for allowing us to give you these words of this important topic. And we ask Allah Ta'ala, Bismihi al-A'zam, to continue to guide you, brothers, inshallah, by your nawasi, and bring you people closer, ever so closer, to the middle path and to the way of those companions, ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.